I'm going to read a portion that we've preached from in the past, but I want to approach it from a slightly different angle tonight. Luke chapter 7, commencing to read at verse 11 and reading to the end of verse 17. Let us now hear the word of God. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And may the Lord be pleased to bless the word of the Lord to all of our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. Behold a widow. Behold a widow. What a very sad and pathetic picture. Now, I'm sure that most of you know that pearls are formed when a foreign substance, like a grain of sand, enters into the body of an oyster. Due to the intrusion and the irritation experienced between the shell and the mantle of the oyster, activated cells produce a substance which begins to form around the foreign matter. Eventually, the mother of pearl is produced. So the mother of pearl is associated with suffering. No pearl can be produced apart from pain, hurt, and suffering. And in a similar way, from the beginning of time, human mothers have been associated with sorrow and with suffering. In fact, of Eve, the first mother in the Bible, God said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. So because of original sin, mothers greatly suffer in giving birth to their children. Mothers not only suffer, however, under this universal law of sorrow, they suffer through life in general. Mothers have feelings and responses that others never know. And in the text before us, we are introduced to a hurting mother. And this is the only place in the Bible where her story is told. It's the story of the death and resurrection of the widow of Nain's son. And it's not mentioned anywhere else in the Word of God. And while it is true that this miracle in these verses before us involved the widow's son, it is apparent that he who made a woman had a heart for hurting woman. And we are made aware of a number of things here in this particular story of how Jesus had compassion and how he came to a hurting mother. And it's these things that I want to share with you tonight in the service. In the first place, I want to think for a moment or two about his coming to the hurting mother, as is outlined here in verses 11 and 12. Now, according to the earlier verses, Jesus had been in Capernaum. So to meet the funeral procession, the Lord Jesus Christ had to travel a distance of about 18 to 20 miles from Capernaum to the village of Nain. But as is always the case, he came there in the hour of the mother's crisis. Not a moment before, he arrived at that exact spot at the right time to be a blessing to this hurting mother. And as she was going out of the town to bury her son, Jesus was entering into the town to bless her son. He'd come to identify with a woman in her time of need and to reveal his mighty power on her behalf. Now, Jesus could have gone to any other village. And there were many villages around that particular area, and no doubt in those villages there were people who needed his help, his counsel, his touch, his blessing, his healing power. But it was in his heart to go to Nain. And this is the only time that the little town is mentioned in Scripture. But there was a great need in Nain that demanded his attention. And that's the reason why Christ journeyed from Capernaum to Nain to identify with this hurting mother. Now, it's most likely that Jesus started his journey to Nain before the boy actually died. And let me just explain that, why I believe that. Conditions in Palestine made it imperative that bodies be buried immediately after death took place. They didn't wait for a number of days before burying the person who died. Therefore, there would have been no time for a message to summon Christ from Capernaum. There would have been no time for that to have taken place. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew about the hurting mother. He knew about her need. He knew what had happened. And thank God he just arrived at the right moment, at the right time, to meet the woman at the point of her need. Now, whatever our circumstances may be, long before you travel down that rough road, or long before the heaviness comes to your heart, the Lord has you in his heart and on his heart. Before we know anything about the situation, in his omniscience, he knows all about it. Prior to the moment it happens, he knows what's about to take place in your life and in my life. And thank God, just the moment we need him in that crisis, the Lord is making preparation to come to meet with us, to help us, to demonstrate his power, and to be there just the time we need him. And now he comes to Nain to prove his love to that woman in the hour of her need and the hour of her pain. Now, this dear woman had already made one visit to the place of burial. She was a widow. Her husband had died. So she had gone out to the burial place on one occasion before. But now her heart experiences double grief and double sorrow. And she was not just going to bury her son, but to make the burden heavier, he was her only son. The Spirit of God emphasizes this, that he was her only son. Yet in this dark time, the Lord identified with her sorrow and came where she was. And we are told in verse 14 that Jesus came right to the bier, or to the funeral couch, if you like. And that was usually a homemade wicker bed on which the body was carried to the burial ground. And this touching scene reminds us that even in sorrow, not just in our times of joy and times of gladness, that the Lord Jesus Christ comes near and he identifies with us in times of sadness. And he wants to bind up our broken hearts. He wants to dry up that tear. And he wants to give peace to us in the midst of the storm. He always comes in mercy and in grace to meet with us. He knows the pathway ahead. He knows the things that you will meet with tomorrow, and the things that you will meet with the next day, and the things that will happen to the church of God in this place during the course of the week that lies ahead. He knows these things in his omniscience. He knows what will take place. And already he has devised a way to come to us. He has devised a way through for us. As the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, so he opened up a way. 40 years later, the children of Israel came to the River Jordan, and he opened up a way, and they led his people through. He knew all of that, and he planned to that end. And at the moment the people needed him the most, just then, he came, and he stepped in, and he opened up a way, and they led his people through. And that's the way it works with us. These examples are given to us in the Word of God for our benefit, to teach us tremendous truths, to teach us that he always comes to meet us at the point of our need. As in several other New Testament scenes, Christ was not summoned to come to Nain. No one sent him a message. He came of his own accord. And this woman did not plead with him to come to her aid. She did not petition him. She never asked for his help. But often, as it is written, he is found of those who do not seek him, and he manifests himself to those who never ask for his help. He's the man of sorrows, and being the man of sorrows, he's acquainted with our grief and with our needs, and just the time we need him, he'll come and he will help us and he will bless us. His coming to a hurting mother, he came at the right time. And then we need to think for a moment or two about his compassion on a hurting mother. The interest of the Lord is alluded to three times in verse 13. And if you take a moment to look at that, verse 13, notice what it says. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Notice the words. The words are not when the Lord saw the boy's body, but when the Lord saw her. I think that's important. Let's not miss that. When he saw her. And then the second phrase reads, he had compassion on her, and then again he said unto her, weep not. He did not look in her direction merely as an act of charity. He had a desire to know this woman. He had a desire to meet this woman. He had a desire to help this woman in her time of need. He was interested in this woman and her broken heart. And the words the Lord saw her indicate that Jesus focused upon this woman in a specific way. He didn't speak to anyone else in the crowd. And no doubt others were there mourning as well. Maybe relatives of the young man. He didn't address them. He spoke to the woman. He was very specific. He knew the heartbreak she had. He saw her tears. He saw everything about her. He knew everything. And he set his attention. He focused his thoughts upon her. And he singled her out in a very special way. Now, in our age, if there is a cause, it seems that the only way to get the attention of the media is to assemble masses of people. Occupy Wall Street. Occupy Treveris. Occupy Orlando. Get a crowd. Get the media down there. Now, it wouldn't just be the same if it was only one man or one woman or two people. It's got to be a crowd. But here we find the Lord Jesus Christ arriving on the scene, and he's interested in an individual, this particular heartbroken woman who was a widow, who was about to bury her only son. He focused in upon her. He knew her need. He wanted to help her as an individual. And we are gathered here tonight as individuals with burdens and cares and things that no one else knows anything about. But Jesus cares and Jesus understands. And Jesus has come tonight to help you. He has a heart for individuals. And the Word of God says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful friend. And then we're told that he had compassion on her. And sometimes the term compassion is the same word for mercy. Jesus had compassion. He showed mercy on this woman. And the word compassion, as it is used in this text, actually comes from two Greek words, which mean to suffer with. And it carries with it the idea of entering into one's suffering and giving assistance. Sometimes during my ministry, people have come to me and they have explained their care, their burden, and I've tried to the best of my ability to sympathize with them and to try to give them the best advice possible, to pray with them, to point them to the Word of God. And that's all a preacher can do. But when the Lord Jesus Christ draws near to an individual, he enters into that person's sufferings and he gives assistance that a pastor or preacher could never give, because he alone can give to the believer what that believer needs. We are not left to ourselves. The Lord came and he showed compassion upon this individual. He came to her. He entered into the sorrow she was having. He felt for her as no one else could have felt. And he showed sympathy and he showed compassion. And when he did that, the woman responded accordingly. And she recognized, here's someone who cares. Here's someone who knows how I really feel. Here's someone who could help me. For I can't take any more. I've nothing left to live for. I've lost my husband, I've lost my only son. What else have I got to live for? And then Jesus came, and he made the difference. We have his compassion on a hurting mother, and then Christ's instruction to a hurting mother. Jesus not only saw this sorrowing mother and had compassion on her, but he had a word for her. The Bible says, he said unto her, weep not. Before he did anything, he spoke to her heart. Before he performed a miracle for her, he performed a miracle in her with his word. And in the Bible class this morning, we were talking about John on the Isle of Patmos. And two things made the difference to him in his life. The word of the Lord coming to his heart, and the touch of the Lord upon his life. And now the Christ of the cross comes, and he gives to this woman a word. That's what she needed. And furthermore, he gave her a touch. It may not have been the literal touch of his hand, but he came spiritually, and he touched her, and he lightened her load, and he lifted her burden. He performed a miracle in her with his word. Now, as we have already indicated, he came to Nain without an invitation. And now we see that he spoke to the widow without being asked even to speak. Isn't that the way the Lord works? Sometimes when we're cold and dry and barren, we sit down there and we lift the Bible more or less out of tradition, and we may have no heart in what we're about to do, but then all of a sudden he speaks to us and turns that Bible reading into a Bible study. And he comes to speak to her hearts. His heart was touched by her pain. He could not be silent. When she was overwhelmed, he undergirded this woman with his word. And when she was blinded by grief, he gave a word of illumination and instruction. And you will notice that Jesus did not speak to everyone in the crowd. He directed his words to this woman in particular. He singled this woman out and he spoke to her heart, and she knew that he had spoken to her. And sometimes in a meeting like this, that's the way it is with us, that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt God has spoken to us. Maybe it is that way tonight. I trust that it is. He's given to his people a word in season. And his word, I suppose, was what Solomon called a word fitly spoken. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. What a wonderful picture that is. It was a special word, and it was spoken to a sorrowful woman in her time of need. It was spoken by a special person in a special way at a special time. It was a hymn and her experience. And sometimes Christ speaks to us in the sunshine, and sometimes he speaks to us in the darkness of life's trials. But hallelujah, he does speak to us. And as the songwriter said, he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, another has ever known. And Alexander McLaren once said, it's a kind of prophecy that indicates that Jesus is going to take away the occasion for her weeping. And that's exactly what was in his mind. He was going to take away the occasion of her weeping. The Savior was not just telling her to stop her crying, but was assuring her that he was going to take care of the dilemma. His word was heaven's cure for a hurting heart. And the word of God will always prove to be heaven's cure for a hurting heart. And from the beginning of time, the word of God has prepared the way for his work. The Lord said, let there be light. And we are told, and there was light. And here Jesus spoke before he did anything. He gave the instructions. Then he performed a miracle. But what he spoke was a promise and proof that he would do something. So when he said, weep not, he was not merely saying, stop crying. But he was actually saying, I'm going to take care of your dilemma. I'm going to take care of the source of your sorrow. I'm going to do a miracle here. And then his conquest for a hurting mother. This was brought to attention in verses 14 and 15. We come to the miracle itself. And he came and touched the bier, And they that bare him stood still, and they said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. What a scene that must have been. The Lord, having given a word of comfort, now gives a word of conquest. As the Lord of life and death, Christ intervened and said, I say unto thee, arise. And the resurrection of this Muller's son was one of the three resurrections performed in the ministry of Christ. He raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead, he raised Lazarus from the dead, and now he raised the widow's son of Nain from the dead. As he was traveling en route to his own resurrection, he evidenced his inherent power in the resurrection of others, showing to the people in ancient times what he himself would do by the power of God. He would be raised from the dead. He's a conqueror of death. He has triumphed over darkness and over hell, over Satan and sin. And thank God he triumphed that day near the graveyard in that little town of Nain, when he performed this powerful miracle by raising this young man from the dead. What a miracle it was. But it was just another ordinary event in the life of Jesus. Our circumstances cannot and do not present any obstacles too difficult for the Lord Jesus Christ. He raised this cold, lifeless body of this young man from the coffin, and he came to restore new life to those dead in trespasses and in sins, and to give them new life. And then, when that happened, the young man sat up and he began to talk. Then he was restored to his family life. Jesus delivered him to his mother. And that was a great time for the woman. Her tears have been dried up. The smile is returned to her countenance. She embraces her only son. She hugs him. She holds on to him. And this is proof that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. And then, his influence through a hurting mother, verses 16 and 17. When Jesus raised the boy from the dead, there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, and the rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. Remember what Paul said to Festus of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This thing was not done in a corner. And this particular miracle at Nain was not performed in a corner. It was not performed in obscurity. It was a public manifestation of his divine power. And the influence of his intervention was known and felt in many lives. And the phrase, and there came a fear in all, indicates that the fear of God overwhelmed the population. There was not only a general impression of Christ's supernatural gifts, as he was called a great prophet, but there was also a specific consciousness of a divine visitation. God had visited his people, and they glorified God, and they believed that God had visited his people. And this brought a sense of God consciousness to their hearts. They saw the hand of God made there. They had been unbelievers before this, but when they saw the mighty work of God, they were convinced a mighty prophet had come among them. And the king of ages chose to use a mother's desperation and her hurt and her pain as a channel of his mighty power. And in her weakness, his strength was made perfect. And in her brokenness, his glory was revealed. Oh, in our own burdens, may our hearts embrace this principle. The whole area was affected by his supernatural power, by a supernatural intervention. The news was not limited to Nain only, but the report travelled all over the Judean hills and the valleys. And through this hurting mother's sorrow, the influence of the Lord was more widespread. And through her heartache, God's great name was magnified. His kingdom was extended through that great work of grace. A teacher was teaching her students about magnetism, and she brought a few magnets into the class and placed them on the table and illustrated how they worked. And she promised them a quiz on the subject the next week. And when she gave the quiz, one of the questions read, My name starts with the letter M. I have 6 letters and I pick up things. What am I? Of course, she wanted the word magnet, but all the children wrote down the word mother. The word mother. And I think that taught the teacher a lesson as well. In one sense, through her suffering and pain, this mother in name became a magnet. The Lord used her desperation to attract others to himself, and he will do the same for hurting mothers and hurting fathers in our day. And bless his name, he will do the same in any broken heart. What a lesson this is for us to learn. What a simple yet profound story we have before us. Don't miss the teaching. Don't miss the compassion Christ had on this hurting mother. He cares. He loves. He understands. He wants to relieve a situation. He wants to deal with our burdens. He wants to wipe away the falling tears. And he wants to bless us. And he wants to use us. And he wants us to be magnets to attract other people to him. And when he has conquered us, and when he's living through us, I do believe that will happen. And may the Lord give us grace to be like this woman, maybe become a magnet for the glory of God. Amen.